This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here is your host, Will Kuntz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall broadcast. My name is Will Kuntz. Joining me, as always, my steamy, melt-in-your-mouth, gorgeous liaison and co-hosts, Kevin King and Ben Kirby. How are you, boys?
Wonderful now.
Yeah, you feel that. Good?
I feel good now.
Good, man. That's what I do.
I'm not commenting.
You don't like that?
Man. It was fine.
Okay, good. What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're pretty good.
Yeah? Anything to address? What's going on in the city this week?
We are recovering from a storm we had recently. A lot of city efforts dedicated to that storm. We also kicked off our Shine Festival, Mural Festival in St. Pete. And our guest today, Evan Morey, our Transportation and Parking Director, will probably talk about this. Right down the block from City Hall, we have a mural on the street. I think it's the first one we've had in the city. Central and 5th Street.
I saw that. It's very cool.
Yes.
It's got the geometric pattern just painted right on there.
It's really cool. Nice splash of color.
It's beautiful.
Murals are going up all over the city. SPF, which we talked about in the past, is kicking off this month as well, our second annual St. Pete Festival. So September is a cool month in the city. That's all I got.
that's all we got. SPF is really the big thing.
Yeah.
SPF and Shine, and there'll be a lot more murals.
How many murals are going up this year? It seems like every time I walk by somewhere, there's a new one going on.
I don't know, but there's a website. If you just Google Shine Mural Festival, there's actually a map of where all the ones are now and where there's going to be new ones.
Is it throughout the month, or are they just completing them now, this week?
Well, they start new ones this month. They'll finish, and then they'll stay up. We'll have ones from last year that continue to be up. So they stay up indefinitely, really, until the artist or whoever owns the building decides to replace it. It's really sort of beautiful walking around the city, all parts of the city, alleys, main roads, Pinellas Trail. The students at Gibbs High School did something really interesting on Pinellas Trail near Vertical Ventures, I believe, under the interstate there off First Avenue South. So.
They painted those, what are they? They're called Jersey Barriers. Is that right, Evan? Is that what those are called?
Jersey Barriers, technical term.
The best thing to do during Shine is to get sort of wander around the city, downtown, get lost. You'll bump into something.
Don't get too lost,
but you'll discover some really cool stuff from downtown and the water all the way to the Grand Central District and south. There's lots of color around every corner.
Do you have a favorite mural?
I haven't gotten out to see this year yet.
There's a couple of new ones going up that I really like.
Yeah. No, we'll do it. We did I think last year my wife and son and I drove around. Yeah. It was raining a little bit, and we went down all the alleys and took some pictures. It's a really fun thing for families to do. Kids love it.
This is a technical question you guys might not know, but the one that's on the street that they painted, did they have to use a special type of paint for that to get it to stay? Or
it is special paint. Yes. Yeah? It's the same kind of paint that our crews use in the roadway to paint the lines.
Oh, okay.
It's got a special sand additive that helps with the friction so that when cars drive over it, they don't slip around. So
right.
It's safe.
That was the voice of Evan Morey.
Yeah, let's welcome our guest. Evan Morey is the Director of Transportation and Parking here in the city. How are you, Evan?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
So what's your day-to-day like here at the city of St. Petersburg? What are you in charge of? I mean, besides obviously.
Yeah, the day-to-day changes quite a bit, but with our department, we are a relatively small department. We have about 30 employees, and we manage the city's owned parking assets. So if you think of the Sundial Garage, South Core Garage, MSC Garage, and some surface lots around town like the Alang surface lot, those fall under the management of our department. And then on the transportation side, we kind of do the long range planning versus what the public works folks do. And in transportation planning side, we also have a really heavy focus on bicycle and pedestrian safety and planning for additional facilities and trying to make sure that the city stays as safe as possible and kind of leading edge on some safety and amenities that we have. For instance, St. Pete was the first city in the state of Florida to have a two-way bike path on the street that's separated from the street, and that's on First Avenue South as part of the
that
trail
cars
extension.
I see constantly, I think most of them are probably tourists, but try to go down. I see it all the time, right at 4th Street and First Ave South, I guess it is.
Yeah, some people are...
it is amazing.
Some people are confused by that.
Yeah.
So it does happen, but usually they figure it out pretty
they
quick.
They figure it out pretty quick, usually, and I always just smile and shake my head.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I want to give Evan sort of a more formal intro or layout, give some context around why he's the guest and how important it is, his job, and having him on the show. We've had we talked about a couple episodes ago the arts in St. Pete with Wayne. We talked about the CRA with Deputy Mayor Tomlin. Was there another one? We had the mayor on. We did the pilot with the mayor. Evan is sort of, and I think this is in some ways sort of the most important show for people to listen to, is the work he does touches everyone in the city. You may not care a whole lot about the CRA. You may not care a whole lot about arts in the city. But everyone in St. Pete travels the roads and parks in the parking spots or garages. And so Evan kind of affects our lives more than anyone in some ways, which is really scary.
I often don't want to admit this, but we also have the traffic calming program
there
in my department.
So speed bumps, speed humps.
Talk about controversy out in the neighborhoods. Speeding's a big issue, and people with families, people with kids are really concerned about speeding on their road. So we have set a criteria, and we have budget set aside that we will evaluate speeding concerns out in the neighborhoods, and we can come in with a series of countermeasures like speed humps or islands. Every once in a while, it's something like a new stop sign is necessary, so that's under our purview as well.
So what is the biggest obstacle, I guess, right now as of today with parking and transport?
With parking, I'd say it's that we're getting busier, and there's a desire to park right in front of where you want to go, and that's changing, that people have to kind of get used to parking in the garages a little bit more, not being able to find a spot on the street necessarily right in front of where they want to go. So it's kind of a cultural change, and I think that I'm seeing it happen. And at the same time, we're trying to make things convenient for people so that they do have a good parking experience when they get here. We're not trying to say, well, it's just going to be tough, so tough. We try to make our garages better. We try to make the on-street parking better. We were one of the first cities with a pay-by-phone back in 2010, and we just renewed that contract. And with the renewal, if you're a St. Pete resident, you can pay by phone and avoid any convenience charge. So that's something we try to do for local people here. You just have to register for that.
That's the Park Mobile, correct?
That's the Park Mobile app, yep. So we've got over 75,000 unique users of that have registered, and it's really popular. We're in our sixth year.
Yeah, it's really easy to use, too. You can pay with even PayPal if you don't want to put in a credit card. There's a lot of different options there. Do they take coins, right? You can still pay with coins.
Yeah, they all still take coins. One of our newest initiatives is we added credit card acceptance, and we use single-space credit card meters for that. So that
you can just swipe your credit card on the parking
on,
meter?
On all of our dope. All of our spaces on Central Avenue and Beach Drive, you can just swipe your card now and go. So you can pay by coin, credit, or phone.
Nice. So what are I know there was a parking study that was completed not too long ago. What were the outcomes of that?
The outcomes of that are that basically we have enough parking supply, but we have pockets where especially the on-street parking is busier than is optimal. You know, after you get over 85% full in an area, somebody can't find a parking space, and it creates some consternation on those drivers. So we need to implement some more things to get people to spread out with their parking, attract people to the garages. One of the interesting suggestions that Mayor Christman liked, and I think council is ready to approve as well, that we'll probably launch in the next few months, is offering the first hour free in our garages. That was one of probably the most popular recommendations. So it would probably only apply during business hours and not events, but to give people an incentive to go in the garage instead of being on the street, we'll let you park for the first hour for free. Kind of the big question that we were trying to answer is, when When do we need to build our next parking garage? How big does it need to be and where does it need to be? So what the consultants came up with, and there's a lot of public input from a steering committee and from the public at large. We actually had a survey of over 1,700 citizens responded on their concerns and suggestions for parking. And the result was that instead of building another 1,300 space parking garage like we did back in 2000, we should look for public-private partnerships where we work with a private investor that might may control the land or bring something else to the table and facilitate new development and build different pockets, maybe three different pockets of parking around downtown and the Edge District of a few hundred spaces per. So that's probably the most interesting finding that came out of the study.
And, I mean, you always have the trolley, the Central Avenue trolley, too. So if you're parking a little up the ways, you can always catch a trolley and come downtown.
That's a good way to do it. The Central Avenue trolley is the fifth most popular route that PSTA has.
Yeah, I use it quite frequently. It kind of got messed up, though, because it used to go just up Central, and then something happened where it went up different, like First Avenue North, and then came back around and looped back to Central. I don't know if it's back on track now. It might be.
Well, it does go north at 2nd Street, and then that way it hits the Sundial and the Pier,
mm-hmm.
and then it comes back to Central. So it does jog off at both ends. It comes off of Central. So at the west end, it leaves Central, goes down Pasadena all the way to Paso Grill, mm-hmm. and then back. So it does have some of its route that's not on Central.
And, Will, that may have been just some random trolley that you were in once. Some guy.
You get in. Okay.
Yeah, it's possible.
Will, let's do this thing.
And actually, so a segue into that is you mentioned First Avenues North and South. There's a plan in place to connect people from the beach to the bay, right?
Yep. We have some exciting plans moving forward with a bus rapid transit system. It's mostly a PSTA initiative, but they work really closely with the city. The city's been very supportive of this initiative, and BRT stands for Bus Rapid Transit, and it's premium transit. It kind of has some of the amenities of rail, but it has the flexibility of the rubber tires being. It would have frequent service, long hours. It would have stops that, the Central Avenue trolley stops every two blocks, but if you're going to be rapid, you can't be stopping every two blocks. So it'll have major stations that are spaced further apart, and it'll get you from downtown St. Petersburg out west very quickly. And you can let somebody else do the driving. It'll have onboard wireless, and so you can do work on the way. The most interesting part of that conversation right now is where does it end up on the West End? Because right now we're evaluating three destinations to the west, Madeira Beach, Treasure Island, and St. Pete Beach. But the complication is St. Pete Beach and Treasure Island did not participate as PSTA members as far as for taxes for their residents. So any service that they have now, they actually pay for on an hourly basis, and so that needs to be addressed. But the route that's technically scoring the highest is still St. Pete Beach.
And you said longer hours. What are the hours going to be for that?
They're not decided all the way yet, but it's really something that people need to be able to take for work. So it would start probably at 5 o'clock in the morning, somewhere in that range, and then it's really designed for two things. One is for people to get to and from work, and the second is for tourists and people that are trying to enjoy entertainment that would come from the beaches to downtown and vice versa. So it needs to run late at night. It needs to service Tropicana Field for Rays games, and so the service would go till at least midnight. So it would probably only be shut down for a few to several hours per night.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I dislike about public transport is I'm a younger person, but it's not open late enough for me. By midnight, I'm still out a lot of times, you know
right.
what I mean? So it's hard for me to use public transport. Is there any plans to make it maybe a 24-hour service?
Well, for the BRT, I think it's going to be near 24 hours, but not quite. But that's, I think the operating hours are something that are yet to be determined. And if it's determined that there'll be a decent number of riders, say, I know bar time's 3 a.m., right? So if you're trying to start getting people to work at 5, and you're getting people from home from the bars at 3:30, you might as well go 24 hours.
Yeah, I could just sleep, take a nap on the bench, I guess, for a couple
of
hours.
Nothing good happens after midnight, young man.
I disagree. A lot of cool things happen after midnight.
Yeah. We wouldn't know, Kevin.
No, I wake up about the time I used to go to bed.
It happens from what I hear, yeah. So there's a new bike share that's taken place that the BP settlement money was used for. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. We actually only used $250,000 of the BP money for that. We also used part of our parking funds to pay for that project. It's a $1.5 million investment from the city that we pay up front. And that carries us through at least the first 3 years of the contract. And we're going to have a we're going to have it up and running in the fall. It's going to be phased in with a smaller system, probably 10 stations to start in late October, early November. And then by wintertime, we'll have the full system deployed, which will be 300 bikes and 30 stations. And the service area is the greater downtown area, so not just the core, but out First Avenue South and North, or Central Avenue through Grand Central District, probably out to about 31st or 34th Street. Go up north to probably Sunken Gardens, Coffee Pot to the north, and then down south to about 18th Avenue South on a couple of spurs. Most likely the Deuces is looking pretty good. So bike share is something that you know, kind of wish we already had. We're usually pretty far ahead of things and don't let other people get ahead of us. So we feel like we're a little bit behind schedule on this, but it's right around the corner, so we're going to be there. And bike share is a really good economic development tool. It's good for something to give people, tourists, a way to get around. It's a way to show people that they can get around without just using a car. And membership's really cheap. You can have a membership for about $70 a year, and you can ride a bike every single day. So it's great for tourists. It's great for people who live downtown. It's great for people who live in St. Pete, are going to visit downtown. And then the idea is that after it's proven for downtown, hopefully we can have some other for some other areas as well. But we have to keep in mind that bike share, they're upright, heavy, comfortable bikes. They're made for short distances. So for people that want to ride from here to Dunedin on the trail, we want them to still go visit a local bike shop and get a fast bike.
Right. You said there's a membership. Could you also rent them hourly, I'm assuming? What's the cost?
You can. For an hourly, it's $8 an hour. But the $8 an hour is not something where you're going to rent it all day, because you're going to go from point A to point B. So say you rent it at the Vinoy and you want to go to the Dolly, you're going to be able to get there in 15 minutes. So it's $2 to get there. And then you can dock it at a station and your time stops. And then when you're ready to go back, you you rent another bike, you check out another bike, and you go back to the Vinoy.
Gotcha.
We think it'll integrate well with the ferry service that's starting in November as well, so that you get on the boat in downtown St. Pete and you ride it to downtown Tampa, and unless you're going to right where it ends or you're ready to walk a long distance, you can hop on a bike share. And we're going to have reciprocity, because our vendor is the same vendor as the one that operates it in Tampa. So if I'm a member in St. Pete, I can go and ride for free in Tampa and vice versa.
Oh, cool.
All their members that they already have in Tampa are going to be able to come ride in St. Pete for free. So whether you're coming across by car or you're coming across on the ferry, you can use bike share to get around once you're on the other end. Because the whole idea is you're taking the boat over, you don't have your car here.
Sure.
So you could walk, you could, you know, both sides of the bay are going to have electric golf carts, or they're nicer than golf carts, but electric vehicles that can get you around in Tampa and St. Pete.
That you can drive right around now. In, or someone drives you around?
Somebody drives you.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Okay. So
that sounds like fun.
It's safer to have somebody else drive you, especially.
No doubt.
Especially
no doubt.
You, it
yes.
sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not that bad. He likes to pick on me. I'm not that bad.
No, we give Will a hard time.
But well deserved. I'm not saying it's not well deserved, but
if you listen to Evan closely, he's talking about all these tools in the toolbox. We got bike share, we got ferries, bus rapid transit. So the mayor, if he had his way, we'd have light rail connecting our cities, and we're having to, because the governor made a decision. Well, didn't he turn down some light rail money or something?
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're having to get creative, right? You know, so none of these things are the answers. Bike share is not the answer. Ferry is not an answer. But we're trying to get all this stuff together so people have more options. We can move people around the region.
Well, there's rarely one answer, right? I mean, it's going to be
There's rarely one answer, but, you know, rail, moving people quickly is the best thing. And we're having to kind of nibble around the edges right now.
Yeah. I saw one thing I thought was kind of cool a while ago. Wasn't the city in the running for a potential grant, and the idea was to have a cable
aerial system. Gondolas.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a interesting idea.
Yeah, there was a national competition for a major federal grant. It was $40 million, so a lot of money. 77 cities put in for it, and seven cities got to go on to compete to be the selected city. They only picked one out of 77. Unfortunately, our concept was not chosen. But it got an interesting conversation going about how can you get around without using a car? How can we better use our restrained right-of-ways?
Who did they choose? Do you remember?
Columbus, Ohio, I believe.
And what was their idea, do you know?
I saw the top cities threw kind of everything against the wall. They didn't have a single lead concept as much as we did, from my understanding, from my recollection of reading what the other cities were proposing. And a lot of cities are trying to integrate. An interesting conversation to have, too, is on connected vehicles and driverless vehicles. We decided not to concentrate on that too much because there are other cities, like where Google's based out of, even Tampa with some of the Crosstown Expressway experimentation that they're doing. We decided to get creative for ours and try to offer something that we didn't think anybody else would be offering. But you did see things about bike share. You did see things about connected vehicles. A lot of the things that we're pursuing.
Yeah, with the driverless cars thing, too, I mean, there's private companies that are working on that as it is. Uber's, I think, getting ready to roll them out now. So, I mean...
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, it is.
It just doesn't seem like it's... Wasn't it just an accident the other day?
Yeah, but these are, you know, anecdotal things, right? I mean, people die of spider bites, too. Yeah. That rarely happens.
No, that's right. No, we like... We're all about it.
Yeah, the scary thing about driverless cars is that time that it's going to take when you have driverless cars on the road with... drivers and how they interact.
Yep.
But it's definitely coming. Just the debate is how soon is it going to be.
Mm-hmm. One more question I had about the bike share before we move on. So let's say you rent a bicycle, you get to your destination, the station you want to drop off at, there's no room to drop off the bike. What do you do?
There is something called geofencing that's around the station, and you can lock the bike up to a tree or preferably another bike rack, because we'll have supplemental bike racks around there. I mean, we have hundreds of bike racks downtown all over the place, and we're adding more all the time. So that's how that's addressed, is that if you get it within, if you're close, you're close enough and there's no extra charge. If you decide to lock it up somewhere else that's not a station, that you don't really make an attempt to get it to one of those 30 stations, there's a $2 charge, convenience charge, basically, if you want to leave the bike wherever you want.
Wherever you want. You can just dump it.
Right.
Well, not dump it, but lock it up somewhere.
Right. It has an integrated lock, so you can lock it anywhere you want, and then it's $2.
Okay.
And then other people are incentivized. I don't remember if it's $2 or less if they take that bike and get it back to a dock somewhere.
Gotcha. So this is going to be done by a mobile app, I'm assuming?
It's a mobile app is one of the options. We're also going to have 10 kiosks out of the 30 stations, 10 of them that are going to be spaced and in high volume environments where you can rent it from a kiosk. So a lot of people are going to have a membership and they're going to have a PIN, so they can go straight to the bike. They can do it from their phone or they can do it from a kiosk. So the kiosks are kind of for the first users, the tourist users that are going to need to be able to put a credit card in. But then people that have memberships and people that live around here, they're going to probably sign up from home and then have that membership through their cell phone.
Are these man kiosks or just all automation?
Automated.
And how many bikes are there going to be total to
300.
Start? 300. All right, let's talk about the new PSTA route change around Williams Park. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's been 40 or 50 years in the making that the city's been wanting to get the buses out of Williams Park, for lack of a better term, where... For that long, we used the city park to be a bus depot, and it really wasn't the most efficient bus depot, and it wasn't the best thing for the park. It wasn't the best thing for downtown. And the city and PSTA had some false starts with trying to make it happen throughout the last several decades. And fortunately, the city and PSTA got on the same page and got serious about getting it done. And February 14th. Of this year, we got it done, and that was to disperse the buses so they don't all congregate in one area. We got the advantages of basically having Williams Park not be surrounded by buses that come with the noise and so forth, not be surrounded by shelters. And so we got the benefit of that, but the bigger benefit probably is that we got better public transit throughout downtown. So before, if you looked at the map, all the buses came in First Avenue South, they went to the Williams Park, and then they all went back out First Avenue North for the most part. The Route 4 that goes on 3rd and 4th Street was pretty popular for north-south, but almost all the east-west was just on 1st and 1st, and a lot of people were taking Williams Park out of the way to where they really wanted to go just because they had a transfer there. So now transfers are dispersed. Now more of the downtown is covered, and looking at how many people are getting on and off at some of these new stops, it's really working. So, you know, it's taken some adjustments. There's been some complaints, but I would say for the most part it's been very good feedback on that change, and I'm glad that I was able to play a little bit of a part in it. I mean, PSTA had to do most of the heavy lifting, but without, you know, Mayor Kreisman working closely with PSTA, and I give Brad Miller credit at PSTA, you know, the executive director that was here before him, we kind of came close to getting it finished with him, and then the one that was here before that really had no interest. So it was good that we finally brought it together, and from the time that we really decided to do it, it was May of the year before, so it took about 9 months to get it all planned and executed, and that was moving pretty fast.
It seems simple to me. You put run everything north, south, east, west, right? We're on a grid as it is. So you put one on 4th, 9th, 16th, 34th, and so on, and then move them, you know, what, 22nd Avenue, 38th, you know, you just move them that way. I don't know what the routes are. Is that how it is now?
It is. I mean, one of the best things about our transportation system in St. Pete is the grid network, and so we need to take advantage of it, and we weren't taking advantage of it from that standpoint. So the grid is more, what we implemented was more about downtown. If Greenlight Pinellas that you mentioned earlier would have passed, we would have had a more robust grid for the whole city. But this shows that it works. Things like the grid downtown, things like BRT can help show people that transit can work and that people will ride it, and people, choice riders, will be attracted to it. And so hopefully next time there's a chance for a referendum, hopefully it passes.
Can you talk about one of my favorite things, which is small, but I love it, which is now that the buses aren't pulling into Williams Park, the back-end parking at Williams Park.
Reverse angle.
Reverse angle
parking. This is Ben's favorite.
It's my favorite thing. I don't know why.
I had to look up what this meant, because I was like, it can't just mean back into it. And then, that's pretty much what it means.
Yeah,
right?
No, there was hysteria around this.
I think you meant mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria.
Come on, guys, when we did it.
But actually, no, there wasn't. It was fine. And people are catching on, maybe, right?
Yes, some love it and say it's easy. Other people can't figure it out or don't want to figure it out. But with moving the buses out, we were able to reclaim that area for parking, and we decided to try back-end angled parking. It's actually something we've been looking for a place to try for a couple of years. It's done all across the country, and it has a ton of benefits to it, mostly safety benefits. Which I can go into if you guys
are. We're going to try other places, you think?
Well, we're letting this settle in a little bit longer, and then we have to find the right next place. I think that trying to do it on Central Avenue or Beach Drive is not something I'd recommend anytime real soon. One of the things you can't get away from with back-end angled parking is that, especially in Florida, people will park and they'll wait and they'll have their air conditioner on, which means their car's running. If you're blowing exhaust back out of the car at a sidewalk cafe, it's probably not a good idea. That's kind of the detriment to trying to do it soon on Central or Beach Drive. Now, some states have anti-idling laws. Florida doesn't have that. St. Pete doesn't have that. But that could be implemented someday that would make it work. But
is that something we can do, like locally, ordinance, or are we preempted on that?
I'm not sure if we're preempted on that or
Mayor
or
would
not.
Probably like that. I would like it at the beach. You know, you're looking, I'm at Pastor Girl, I'm driving around waiting for someone to leave.
Yep.
And they're in their car forever. Yeah.
Well, beach is an excellent place to do it. One of the benefits is that you can unload your trunk, get all your sand toys out and your floaties out and everything else.
Get
and you're standing out. You're standing on the sidewalk instead of standing out in the road. And when you're getting your kids out of the car, you know, the door opens up and the kid's kind of forced back to the curb, back to the sidewalk, rather than blocking the way to the sidewalk and having it open to the road. And it really helps with cyclist visibility too. And if you think about when you park on Central Avenue, if you got a big truck parked next to you, you just start, your only option is to start backing out slowly and see if anybody honks at you. You can't see what's coming, whether it be a bike or another car. So luckily the speeds are kind of low there, but with back-end angled parking, you look to the left and you can see if a bike's coming, see if another car's parking or coming, and you can pull out safely. So it's a little bit harder to get into it in the first place, but if you can parallel park, you can definitely do back-end parking.
That's why people are upset, because nobody can drive in Florida. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I had so many people, like in the Old Northeast where I live, people would come visit me. I had to park my friend's car because he didn't know how to parallel park. So I think that's what everybody's upset about. They're going to have to do some maneuvering and learn how to do stuff, new stuff.
So let's do, we don't have a whole lot of time left, and I want to do a speed round.
Okay.
Have we done a speed round yet?
We haven't. This is a new feature.
Are you ready,
of the program.
Sure. I'm
all right.
Ready for
anything. This is a new feature. We're just trying it out, and we'll see how the audience responds. And by the audience, I mean Joe Bordeaux.
Joe Bordeaux and my mother. Hi, Mom.
And Janet. And Janet, Karen Koontz. Is it Koontz?
Oh, she would kill you if she heard that. No, it's Karen Wark now.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, speed round with Evan Morey. Evan, what's your favorite parking spot in St. Pete?
And this is supposed to be fast, and I'm really slow at it right now. So
yeah, your favorite
place. I'm trying to warm up.
What's your favorite place to park?
My favorite place to park is at the MSC garage, where I can park undercover and my car's not hot at the end of the day. And
all right.
Yes, I do pay for that. Pay the city for that.
Or when you get home and park in your driveway.
That's good too.
All right. What's your favorite road in St. Pete?
Pinellas Bayway.
Favorite mode of transportation?
Walking.
That's good, actually. We didn't talk about walking. We talked about everything but walking, and Dr. Tomlin won us.
The director of transportation's favorite mode of transportation.
That's right.
Walking.
Everybody's a pedestrian eventually, right? Whether you drive someplace, you have to get out of your car. I mean, you don't reach your destination when you're still in your car unless you're going to drive in a movie.
Yeah,
we don't
have to walk.
I would have pegged Evan as a Segway man for sure.
I love Segways.
Segways are a big part of what we're trying to accomplish here in St. Pete.
I understand.
Those are so dorky.
Yeah.
Whenever I see those rolling through the park down there, I always go, here comes the cavalry.
And that Weird Al video.
Yeah. It's the best. All right. We ready to wrap it up then?
I think. I mean, what do you think, Will?
I think so. Let me do some
shameless. What do you think of Evan?
I think he's great. He's my new best friend. We're going to hang out.
All
soon.
Right. Well.
Cool, man.
Kyle's
coming.
Kyle's here to steal the
perfect bikes. Timing, too. Let me do some shameless plugs before we get out of here.
Again,
I'm the
for him.
Subscribe to HMB Radio on iTunes or Stitcher to get this show and others, including my mom's favorite podcast and my program, The Homemade Broadcast. And like the Facebook pages, Radio St. Pete on Facebook and HMB Radio. We got Yard of Ale open mics every Thursday, 10 to midnight, 260 First Avenue North here in St. Pete. Come out, hang out. And I am the roast master for my buddy Kyle Roos, 928 at Foo Bar. It is his 30th birthday,
wow.
So I'll be roasting Kyle there.
Happy birthday, Kyle. You're the roast master general.
That's right.
Jeffrey Ross.
All right, well, so we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Kevin, Ben, thank you very much. Evan,
thank you
for coming on.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall Broadcast, an informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall Broadcast.